encouragement and the leading of the Holy Ghost. As Jesus told his wondrous disciples, he said, I have many things to say unto you. I have many things to say to you, but you can't understand them. You can't bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost is come, he will guide you into all truth. And what we'll see as we go through here, what's represented in this wonderful, wonderful place of this church age, we find in here, and we'll find all of the crowning gold truth. That wonderful Paul's gospel of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we thank God for that, that we see that Pentecost, that wondrous moment that Christ sent the Holy Ghost to lead us into all truth for the church age. And once again, we find the metaphor of the pattern again and again, the Holy Ghost taking the things of Christ and making them ours, yea, the deep things of God, which will come forth from feasting upon this golden crowned, and it's a double crowning table, upon the worship that happens at that wonderful altar of incense. And then, praise God, then you're ready, hallelujah, to go into the Holy of Holies. So, going back to the candlestick, let's talk about that for a second, if we can go back, brothers. Now, this candlestick was made only of one lump. We can go back to the candlestick there. There we are. Great. And it was one lump, one talent of beaten gold. Another type in this candlestick that we see is Christ in his church. You think what he is after for us in the glory, the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. But for that to happen, this is one talent of beaten gold. For that truly to happen in our lives, for that transformation to happen, we know to reign, we must suffer. We must have trials. We must have tests. We must have this molding of only what trials that God has before ordained, before the foundation of the world, that we should walk therein. I pray we understand that. That's the good works. A lot of times we think, well, the good works that we should walk therein are the things that I'm just thinking are just all lovely and wonderful and good. I'll tell you, God has a little bit different idea on that one. Those good works are the ones that he's working on you when you're weak beyond your capacity to even move. His good works are when you're in a strait, when you're in a pinch, praise God, and God comes in and shows himself faithful. That's your God. That's what he's doing. All these prayer requests, who do you think sent every one of those needs? Praise be to God. We know who it is. We know our life is ordered. We know it's appointed. We know, praise the Lord, by the grace of God, it is arranged in absolute perfection. Trust him and walk in it. When he tells you something like, and we know, and we know, and we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, let me ask you something. You're here listening to this bridal message, amen? We come in here Friday, we come in here Sunday, we come in here Wednesday, we study by the grace of God, all of these different things. Do you think that that is according to the calling of his purpose? Do you believe that that's exactly what he's talking about? You know it is. It's the one thing. It's that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is the hope of his calling. So by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, he's called you to that. I don't wonder about it. It's not the way I live my life. It's what by the grace of God I'm feeding in my life. And I thank the Lord by feeding on this truth. Let me tell you, Romans 8:28, by the grace of God, is alive and well in my life. Amen. Alive and well. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be walking, let me tell you something, according to what man would think, and even Christian man. You make mistakes. You are going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. You are woefully going to err. That happens. I'm not encouraging you to do that. But I want you to understand Romans 8:28 is alive and well, alive and well, alive and well. The Lord's going to perfect that which he's begun in you. He's going to do that. He's going to perform it. He will perform it. But how does he perform it? With his word. He doesn't perform it with my actions and my good deeds. That's not it. By the grace of God, there will come forth things that will magnify and edify him in that. I get it. But that's not my goal. I'm not thinking what I'm going to do for Jesus. But yet most of Christianity, that's what they're thinking about. What they're going to do for Jesus. What would Jesus do? How about not thinking and believe and allow Christ Jesus to just will and do of his good pleasure in you? How about live that wonderland? Did any of these wonderful worthies of faith, did they know what Jesus was going to do a lot of the times? A lot of times they didn't. They knew one thing, though. He was going to be faithful. Amen. They knew he would be faithful. And he told them, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. So most of the time I'm expecting from the Lord, it ain't going to be the way I think. So we might as well just get ready for it, don't you think? Why would I shoot for my expectations when he's got exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think? And yet I'm just telling the Lord, here's the way we're going to lay it up, God. Ball went out of bounds on that one. And you know what I'm saying. So, by the grace of God, let's trust the Lord. So, this candlestick was made of one talent, one lump of beaten gold. Once again, but for that to happen, there must be trials in our lives. For that glory of that city, something needs to be shapen in our life. The Word of God tells us sweetly that we are His workmanship. Aren't you glad? I'm really glad. I'm glad I don't think about shaping myself. I don't think about what I should look like. I don't. I trust the Lord. He's going to do it. He's going to shine through this vessel as he's going to shine. And I thank God he's going to will and do of his good pleasure in us. So we are that gold tried in the fire. And I want you to understand this. And you're nothing but gold to him. He's brought you into that precious place. You're nothing but gold. All right. Christ here, as we read in that 31st verse, do you remember? It said, and thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold of beaten work. Shall the candlestick be made his shaft and his branches. Isn't that lovely and beautiful? So we see the Christ type in that. Amen? And so he's this precious shaft. All right. And that word shaft, it's a marvelous thing. It means the loins. It does. It means the loins. The fruitful part of man. And we thank God for this because we know, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is the fruitful part of everything. He is it. Jesus, from him is all the increase. All the fruit comes from him. Everything. All these six branches, what do they come out of? The shaft. All out of him. Praise the Lord. Aren't we again thankful that we're enjoined in that? And notice this. You add those all together, we've got seven, or perfection. That's the number of perfection. All out of the one comes all the fellowship with the six, which is the number of man. God's fellowship with man is perfection. Amen. That's the fellowship we want to have. And it's always that sweet perfection. Now going back to that other slide, number two. Now, think about what's also in here. And we see that we have this altar of incense. And once again, in a couple weeks, if the Lord tarries, or a few weeks or so, we'll be talking about that wonderful piece of furniture there in the holy place. That altar, praise God, of incense is where the worship happened. There was no worship in that outer court. Do you understand that? There was nothing out here of that encouragement out here. The worship happened, praise God, in the holy place. That's where that, again, occurred. But in that wonderful holy place, what was there? We had the Spirit, which is represented in that candlestick. Amen? And then we have the truth, which is right over here in this table of showbread, as we'll talk of even more. But that's where the feasting was, that table of showbread. It was the golden table where that food was, speaking so much of this wonderful truth, the strong meat that we eat upon. So we have spirit, right, and truth. And what does the Word of God tell us? The true worshiper worships Him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. So we have this wonderful encouragement that we see there. We have these two. And when we have these two together, what do we have? We have worship at the altar. You have, and what happens when you go from here, seeing, to feasting, and then moving here? Where are you going? You're drawing nigh. You're drawing nigh unto that holy of holy place. And you're drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss Him. How can we not, once we're encouraged and full of that Holy Ghost, feasting on this wonderful golden doctrine of Paul's gospel, how could we not then go in there boldly, fervently, passionately? That's what a bride does. She says, well, my goodness, He does want me. I'm invited, praise the Lord. It's like Ruth taking that instruction of Naomi, being encouraged and saying, you know what? That fella does like me. I'm going in there at night and getting under that skirt. Blush. It's okay. But that's what the Lord is encouraging here, because He's got to get our attention. He loves us. This is passion. This truly is passion. This is the most passionate love affair there will ever, ever be, is Christ and His bride, and it will never end. And I thank God for that. And there is that joy, and truly, this is the good pleasure of His will. That means the very ecstasy of God. Now, brothers and sisters, we have to know this. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love Him. I understand that. But you know what? God has given us example and type in the Word of God. And you know what He uses as His height example of what He wants for the height of our relationship with Him? Is a husband and a wife. This wonderful courtship of those that are in love. He does it time and time again. We know that from the very beginning. That love story played forward and forward and forward, highlighting itself in the Song of Solomon. They're not coincidental. It wasn't for, you know, marriage class. This is the courtship of the Lord's heart for us. And I thank the Lord that it's Paul's gospel that opens that up, that makes that real, that it couldn't be anything but. It is that. Praise the Lord. So we have that. We have that pattern. We have that map. We have that mark for the prize. It's the treasure hunt, and we've hit full glory because of the grace of God. So we draw nigh in fervent love to kiss. We draw all the way back to that inner chamber, the Holy of Holies. Go back and we'll even study more of those words in there. You'll find that it's speaking of a chamber and even at the intimacy of a bedroom chamber. But the priest needed what? He needed the light. They needed the light. And they needed that light to feast upon the table of showbread. The priest needed the light before he could burn the incense. Once again, how essential the Holy Ghost is to any growth or worship or anything in our lives. It's everything. It's everything. He's the one that the Lord sent to take the things of me and show them unto you. Without it, it's impossible to see the depth of it. Because that wonderful verse that the Lord just was quoting to us, that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men, what God has prepared for them that love Him. But wait a second. It didn't stop there, did it? It said, oh, what? But yea, by my Spirit, yea, the deep things of God. You see? So here it is again for us. He's just opened it up and said, honey, you already know this, but I can't think about anything else. How about you? How about you? How about you? And there it is. He wants that for us. Now, can we go back to the first slide again? This candlestick, let's talk about how it was lit up. On each branch, was a bowl, we read, and it was a bowl like an almond, all right? A knop and a wreath, like a crown. And so it was a bowl, a knop, and a flower, all right? And you think about the bowl, like an almond. A wreath or a crown is like a crown and a flower. All right? I'm going to tell you something. This is how beautifully, brothers and sisters, we are adorned to receive from Him. This is the vessel in that encouragement that adds to the usefulness of the husband. Stay with me on this one. Simply put, this is an almond blossom shaped cup with oil in it. So it was an almond blossom shaped cup with oil in it. All right? Now, why an almond? Kind of interesting, isn't it? Well, in the Greek and Hebrew, you know what that word means? It means awakening, it means hasten, and it means to watch. Awakening, hasten, and watch. That's exactly what the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our lives does, doesn't it? It causes us to love the appearing of the Lord. So right there with those almond cups, praise God, we know that this is the enlightenment of the Holy Ghost to make us ready, to have us awake and not asleep. See, again, how specific the Lord is. And that, by the way, that word almond is the same meaning whether it's in the Greek or the Hebrew. A lot of times you don't find that. It's exactly what it means. It means a readiness of watching and being awake, loving the appearing of the Lord. Now get this. The almond is the earliest or first nut tree to blossom with fruit. It's the first. So you have another bridal type right there. The bride is the first fruit of the harvest. She's not a ladder tree. She's the almond tree. All of those little layers of that preparedness. And what for? That first trumpet rapture. That, praise God, is how intense He is to continue to encourage us in this. And this is exactly what the fullness of the Holy Ghost does in our lives. It causes us to love His appearing. So, further, you think about the oil, that anointing of the Holy Ghost, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, praise God, that's on fire. How wonderful that is. But I want you to know this. That fire that burnt from here, you know where that fire came from? It came from the brazen altar. It came from those coals. Isn't that marvelous? It wasn't lit another way. Everything comes from the blood and the sacrifice of the Lamb. Nothing comes any other way. Everything, praise God, that was given to us is at that cross. And we thank God for it. Everything about it. They brought them coals back there, and there was only one fire. There was not a strange fire. And I'll tell you what, that's what happened to Nadab and Abihu. They tried to light up in that holy place things without the coals from the altar. That's why they were struck dead. That's why. That's why, by the grace of God, you stay with the truth. You just stay with the truth. There's no new truth. All this type and shadow, praise be to God. Aren't you thankful you know it? You say, well, praise God. I know that. Thank the Lord. Don't say, well, I already know that. Well, that right there means it don't mean anything to you. How about being a wonderland every single time? The pattern's not going to change. But the beauty of that pattern and the meaning to you and His love for you should send you over the moon. I mean, He keeps telling you, I love you. I mean, I'm totally in love with you. He keeps telling you with all of this type and shadow in here, I am so smitten and beyond. Will you receive this? I don't want to be on the other. Are you going to get this? I just want to take that sweet walk with Him in wonderment and say, Lord, what are you going to show me today? What do you want to show me in here? Praise the Lord. And this is how it goes. So, without the Lamb, there is no power, there's no fire, and there's no anointing. Know it. That's it. Period. And that, now I'll just tell you, there'll be people, and we thank the Lord. I tell you, the infilling of the Holy Ghost is a marvelous thing, and you need it. But I'll tell you what, you just dazzle around on the candlestick all the time and not be feeding on the shoe bread. What are you doing in there? You want to keep it moving. Keep moving through there. Go on. It's just like those that were out here that never leave the outer court. And we know what they were tied up in. The problem is they're not counting it finished at that altar. That the Lord did it. Praise be to God, I'm saved. That foundation's laid. That wonderful blood, there's no remembrance of sin. Them ashes are out from among the camp. Praise God, it's out of there. But if I don't settle that in faith that the Lord did it, I'm never moving into the labor and going on. But it's just like in the holy place. By the grace of God, we need to continue to partake and understand and thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord for that enlightened eyes of an understanding. But get into that word. Get into that word on that table of showbread. Get into that crowning word and praise God. You have that truth there. Now let it work in you with that light, praise God, and let it just radiate. And then I got to get to that altar of incense. I got to start worshiping, lifting my hands in the name of the Lord, praise God. It all works together. And if you're going to go in, and I'm talking about in the type and shadow of that fellowship of the bride, which is that cherubim that is the crowning of that mercy of the ark, let me tell you something. That's got to radiate in you. You'll never have that. God help us to get it. It's so good, how could we pass it up? Praise God. Now, what was given to us was all the fullness at the cross. Praise God. Now, I want to talk about another sweet little thing here. This is so sweet. Go on. Oh, we're already there. Praise God. Now, I want you to notice something here. These candlesticks, there's three branches on each side, all right? And remember, there were three things on each one of these. Boom, boom, boom. We have the bowl, we have the knop, and we have the flower, all right? So we have three there, three there, three there, right? So three, three, and three is nine, okay? Got it. Next one, same thing, three, three, three. Nine. Right here we got three, three, and three is nine. So we have nine, nine, and nine is 27. Okay? So you have 27 little things on these three branches. Now, on this branch, there's four threes. You have those, you have the bowl, you have the knop, and you have the flower. One, two, three, four. So now we have 12, all right? 12 here on this, 27 over here, all right? If you take 12 and 27 together, you get 39. There's 39 books in the Old Testament. All right? Now how many more did you have here? Three, three, and three, or nine, nine, and nine. You had 27. So you have 39 over there, but you still got 27 over here. You know how many books are in the New Testament? 27. So if you take 39 and 27, that totals 66. That's how many books are in the Bible. It's the Holy Ghost that guides us and leads us into all truth. See? That just makes more of the hair stand up. The little things, the little things, little things, little things, little things. Now, you see nine played on there all the time, right? We know nine is divine completion, but we also know that nine is a number of the Holy Ghost. Why do we say that? Well, in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, there's nine gifts of the Spirit. There's nine, all right? And then in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, there are nine parts to the fruit of the Spirit. So we see how sweet it is and the encouragement that we have once again. You have that wonderful power of His might, that encouragement of the Lord and how that is. I pray that encourages your sweethearts in that. Now, let's talk about one little last thing. Let's go on over to Exodus chapter 30, verse 7. We'll close with this. Aaron the high priest, Oh, we're moving right along tonight. Thank the Lord. All right. In 30 verse 7, it says, "And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he what? Dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it." All right. Now, this is kind of a little interesting thing that means something pretty wonderfully deep. Each day, Aaron would go in there and dress those lamps, all right? Brothers and sisters, there were wicks in those lamps. There were little teeny wicks. And those wicks were in those bowls, and they were trimmed each day. But the wick is not specifically ever mentioned. It's not. That wick is transparent. And I thank the Lord for that. That wick was burned, and that wick was trimmed. And you know where those ashes were taken to? Out from among the camp. All right? I want you to think about what we've talked about all night tonight. We talked about beaten gold. We talked about now burning and trimmed wicks. I believe we've talked a lot about joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. And she's transparent. The Lamb is the light thereof. The glory of God does lighten it. But the Lamb is the light thereof. You see that? He's the glory. He's the oil. He's the fire. But praise be to God. Oh, what He can do with us to light it up. Without them wicks, it wouldn't glow. Without His glory, there is no throne. There is no kingdom. And the high priest did it all. The high priest did all the work. Amen? We are solely His workmanship. And I thank the Lord. I pray that we see how we're woven in the meaning of the tapestries. We're woven in the meaning of that candlestick. And praise be to God, we're going to see that pattern that we're woven all the way through that in Him. Isn't He marvelous? I pray that you've enjoyed that. I thank God for those sweet things. And we're just touching on a few. But I'll tell you what, you chew on those few and you might just come apart. You might not even be able to contain it. You might be so overwhelmed, you're going to be like old sisters right there with Jesus. I can't take it anymore. I can't stand it. I love it. Praise God. Let's stand, be dismissed tonight.